All right, everyone, we're doing closed games. So, this has actually been requested by Jazz USA, who is selling the game. You can go to jazzusa.com and get the game for $30. And, hey, if you want, you can get the $100 box set. There is a collector's box set, pre-order. And I will give you a link to that, where you can pick that up. Because I know that if you like what you see here, you're going to want to get a box. And it's Sei Shoujo's work. Remember, Sei Shoujo, familiar with games like Heartwork, Bible Black, Starless, Sleepless, other games like, you know, Cleavage, which they say might even have a chance of coming out if this sells a lot of copies. So we just gotta make sure that we get this game the attention it deserves in the Roji sphere, I guess you could say, whatever you want to call it, and make sure people know. So let's go ahead and get it started. Oh, wow, there's actually a homepage for Empress. Didn't even know that. But yeah, that's the seller, Empress. So, check it out. Listen, my sweet little darling. I want you to produce this season of the game. But leave out the boring parts. Focus solely on keeping me entertained, understood? Understood, Mother. I promise I will come up with a scenario that'll please you. Oh, and don't forget to get a real stud of a man for me. Of course, Mother. I have already made my choice of players, so do not worry about that. If you see, she already looks a little bit like Marisa from Starless. And she seems to look a lot like Mistress Mari. So, just a lot better quality. Of course, that could be Mistress Mari. We don't know. Certainly looks like her daughter. And of course, she does say, of course, Mother. I wonder if this has something to do with Starless, folks. Oh, are you going with your old friends, perchance? That could be very interesting. I am. I'm excited to see them again after such a long time. Hee-hee, that's my little darling. I'm eager to see how they'll do. So then I, like, dodged his shot just barely, which had him shaking in his boots. It was hilarious. He was wide open, so I took him out. But since I would have gotten paid less if I killed the guy, I avoided hitting his jugulars. Today is an uneventful day like any other. My friend, Celicia Lockhart, is telling one of her tales of valor, and as I, Togo McNarton? McNarton is a weird last name. It's not very Japanese. I'm quietly listening. Well, neither is Lockhart, to be fair. We're at my repair shop, which reeks of oil and rust while exposing us to the dry, dusty winds.
ってたらしくてさ 今日は予定してた以上に懐が重くなっちまったよ
And like, in spite of him being such a little bitch, he was apparently worth a ton of cash, so I'm back with deeper pockets than I was expecting today. Is uh-huh all you got to say? Well, whatever. Let's get something to eat once you're done with that thing. It's on me. She kind of looks like Angel a little bit from Heartless. Nah, I'm good. Not like I'm obligated to take up your offer. The hell you mean obligated? Celicia seems disappointed by my response and starts to pout. In contrast to her usual excitement from having bagged herself a bounty, I simply sit there quietly, immersed in my work. Since Alicia has always been a braggart, I've adopted this attitude in response. Speaking of my work, I'm a mechanic of sorts. I've always enjoyed tinkering with simple technology. As time went on, I just kind of kept doing it until I ended up making a job out of it. It's by no means a well-paying job, but it's a highly appreciated one by the people living around here. A client asked me to repair something for them today, so I'm hoping to get it out of the way as quickly as possible. Seriously, I don't get it. What's so fun about messing with that random junk? You'd probably never understand it even if I explained it. You know, you're putting a ton of time into fixing shit that's just gonna break down eventually. Not like it pays well either. So how come you feel so attached to such a shitty job? Celicia doesn't even try to hide her distaste in her judgment of my life in her judgment. Oh? Hold on. Celicia doesn't even try to hide her distaste in her judgment of my line of work. You forgot a of there. I'll let him know. The way she sees things, sticking with a job that basically guarantees a life of poverty is just as bad as refusing to do hard work in the first place. After all, money makes the world go around. Because of that, everyone needs some kind of job to support themselves. Seriously, a single bounty could net you more cash than you'll earn doing that job for months. Listen, it's not too late. Come on, you should become a bounty hunter too. Being a bounty hunter is merely one way to survive in this world. I hate being a bounty hunter. If fixing machines is enough to keep putting food on my table, then that's good enough for me. I don't fucking get your thought process. I really don't. Even though you've been like this ever since we were kids, it still makes no goddamn sense to me. She sighs loudly and shakes her head in exasperation. The act causes memories of my childhood to suddenly come back to me. The two of us first met in a small orphanage in the city, which both of us having lost our parents, we ended up bonding like siblings. According to Celicia, I haven't changed one bit since then. I'm still the same shockingly unambitious person as always. I've never had any grand ambitions, nor any violent fantasies of taking things by force. I've always simply wanted to lead a quiet life. You never think ahead. That's what your problem is. You won't get anywhere in life like that. Hold on. You never think ahead. That's what your problem is. You won't get anywhere in life like that. Actually, you are the one with that problem. Think about it for a second. What exactly does it mean to be a bounty hunter? That's not something I even need to think about. You capture assholes with bounties on their heads and get paid for it. With that money, you can lead a cozy life. What's so hard to get about that? The thought process of yours is a prime example of not thinking ahead. I don't hold Celicia's job as a bounty hunter in very high regard. I have many reasons for that, but the biggest one is that it puts her life in constant danger. After all, it has to pay well to compensate for the fact that bounty hunters risk their lives on the job. Honestly, I don't want her to work in such a dangerous sector at all. However, we've had the same conversation before dozens of times already. The fact that bounty hunting earns her so much money is reason enough for her to keep doing it, regardless of my protests. And here I was, hoping that you'd be happy to hear about it. Oh, and what am I supposed to be happy about exactly? The money, dumbass. Didn't you hear how much I made today? I did. What about it? It'd take you months to earn this much. I'll bet you don't want to admit that, but it's true and you know it. A sigh escapes my lips when I realize that the point she had been building... When I realized that was the point she had been building toward. I finally look away from my work long enough to give Celicia a look. It's nothing I'm unwilling to admit it. Truthfully, I think it's awesome that you're earning so much money. Damn straight. But as lucrative as it is, I don't approve of you being a bounty hunter. What the hell? What the hell you mean by that? What do you mean, what? Think about it for 1 second. For God's sake, you're a woman. Exactly. Isn't it weird for a woman to be doing such goddamn dangerous stuff? So that's how it is. She looks disgruntled that I'd asked her such a question. She crosses her arms, fidgets her fingers, and turns away as if upset with me. I don't remember you ever thinking of me as a woman. Come again? You are a woman, are you not? You know damn well that's not what I'm talking about. Eh? I have no idea what she's trying to say. My brow wrinkles in confusion. This isn't the first time she's acted like this either. Every time she said that, I've tried to get her to explain what she meant, but to this day, she has yet to elaborate on it. Whatever, just remember this. In this world, it doesn't matter whether you're a woman or a man. What matters is money. With cash, you can do anything. You can buy all the stuff you want. Hey, yeah, you could even buy some cutting-edge tech to play with instead of that barely functioning junk. Yeah, but junk tech is what I like. For fuck's sake, this is why you'll never break free from your life of poverty. Anyway, are you saying there's some other way for me to make as much money as a bounty hunter does? Well, if you put in enough effort. Effort? That's all it takes? Believe me, I've already put in a lot of fucking effort. Not that you'd sympathize, but it sure as hell isn't easy to become a bounty hunter. I know it wasn't. No, you don't. You don't know shit. And what choices do I have? Quit bounty hunting and be poor the rest of my life? Or since I'm a woman, do I just become a prostitute and sell my body on the fucking street? That's not even close to what I was trying to say. I don't say that out loud to her, though. I just mutter it to myself as much as I... I just mutter it to myself as I return to work. I know how pointless it would be to continue the current conversation. At this point, I've lost count of the times we've had this argument. It must be up in the hundreds by now. We already know that our ways of thinking differ, and the truth of the matter is that we've just accepted it. Still, I can't help but wonder if things would have turned out differently had we discussed our futures more, back when we'd still been kids. And anyway, speaking of woman, you're still refusing to take me seriously just because I am one, aren't you? I wonder. Do you remember what my nickname is? I don't know, wait. Was it Devilish Trick-or-Treater? It's Double Pull the Trigger! My mistake angers her. Double Pull the Trigger. She never could have come up with such a name by herself. It's a nickname that others gave her. You were there when I got it, you know, at the shooting competition. When I took aim with these two revolvers and emptied all 12 chambers in the blink of an eye. The audience went absolutely wild. They gave me a standing ovation. And man, that pleasure and excitement when I realized I hit all 12 targets made me wet. I promise, folks, this isn't Texas the visual novel. It's starting to feel like that, but it's not Texas the visual novel. Aside from the made me wet part, sure, I guess that happened. But that didn't just happen. Come on, even you were proud of me when you saw it, weren't you? Seriously, it was the greatest thing I've ever done in my life. Well, so far anyway, there are even greater things I've yet to do. She really enjoys boasting about her past exploits. Since I've already heard them more times than I care to count, though, I just sit there with an apathetic expression on my face. Admittedly, her skill with a revolver truly is exceptional, though not to the point where it deserves to be gushed about as much as she does. It isn't a skill restricted to competitive shooting, though. Nowadays, she uses that same impeccable marksmanship against people, too. While she's hardly a good person, she has yet to actually kill anyone, as far as I'm aware. However, the fact that she might do so one day troubles me. I constantly worry that one day I'll find out she's killed someone, or worse, that someone's killed her. If he hadn't been around, your future could have been very different. Who's he? George Mitchell. My voice falls into a hushed undertone. It's fair to say that George, the town sheriff, paved the way for Celicia to become a bounty hunter. Eh. Must ask they shoujo, they said. Say, what do you think about doing now? They said, I've been looking at Texas. And they're like, Texas? You mean like the state? They're like, Texas. And then all of a sudden, like, that's what we got. We got Texas. I swear, folks, this ain't Texas, the RPG. But it's sure starting to feel that way. Shit, I'm wondering if I need to go into a draw. Make it sound more authentic. It's all because she caught his eye with that stunt. He's not perfect, but I owe him for all he's done for me. Not much good he's done for you, if you ask me. He used to arrest me all the time. Whenever I did something naughty, he'd lecture me till I was almost deaf in one ear. But when I won the shooting competition, he approached me and was all like, come on, be my deputy. Then you told him you don't like doing things by the book and instead went down the path to become a bounty hunter. He scouted me for the job, but after hearing bounty hunters make a good living, my mind was made up. And that's when he went too far. You say something? No, nothing. My muttered comment doesn't go entirely unheard as it interrupts Celicia's retelling of her tale. George isn't a bad person by any means, but his insistent pushing had been what led Celicia to becoming a bounty hunter. A little harder without that background. Sometimes I can't help but think to myself, if only they hadn't met, things might be different. Well, he did teach you how to be independent, at least. Damn right, I'm independent, I can survive on my own. And to think that you used to wet yourself in bed all the time when we were kids. Not all the time, only sometimes. Obviously flustered, she's quick to refute my claim. As I remember things, it happened pretty frequently. But certain habits aside, I'm happy she's able to stand on her own these days. While I'm not glad that she became a bounty hunter, the world we live in demands that we have some kind of valuable skill. Whether it's tinkering with machines or being a crack shot, neither of us would be able to live without having something of this value. It's what happens after a collapse, folks. Sound like there was a collapse. What it sounds like. This game might be prophetic in a way. Dollar's getting weaker. I'm just letting you know. We don't have a dollar store anymore. We got a $1.50 store now. Getting rough. If we had nothing, we'd lose everything. Even our very lives. That is the unwritten rule down here on Earth. Would you stop treating me like a goddamn baby already? We were just talking about our childhoods. That's hardly treating you like a baby. Would you just chill out? You've been on edge for a pretty long time now. You mean because of Celine? Yeah, I wonder what she's up to. Who knows? Probably living the dream somewhere above the clouds? Celicia sounds indifferent, as if the topic doesn't really matter to her. I know this is a sensitive topic for her, but I feel as though I ought to bring it up. Celine. She's Celicia's younger twin sister. They used to live together in the orphanage back when we were all kids, but one day we were separated. Apparently, Celine had been adopted. Since we'd only been kids, there had been nothing we could do about her being taken away from us. From what we heard, she'd been taken to a faraway place. Somewhere far, far away from Earth. My thoughts race as I turn my eyes to the sky. And that sky is a floating object that, in some ways, resembles the moon. There's a picture of it right out there in the back. Kind of looks like the Death Star in a way. I hate seeing that goddamn thing. She grumbles to herself. I understand her sentiment, though. After all, not a single human being on Earth has a good reason to feel anything but spite for that spherical thing in the sky. That thing, that heavenly city. Kalem Urbs. That's the name of the celestial world above ours. It is a world inhabited by people far different than us. It's likely that Celine now spends her days up there too. It had been heaveners who adopted her back then. They've never let us communicate with her in any way, so we have no idea how she's doing. Is she leading a happy life, or is she enduring a harsh existence? All we can do is wonder and guess, as we've never been to the heavenly city before ourselves. I mean, it's pretty cruel not to let us talk to her. Shit, I've really stepped on a landmine here. I should know by now that it's taboo to talk to Celicia about Celine. I better change the topic, quick. I'm gonna make her pay someday. You what? I don't know why she won't contact us, but if she's living a life of luxury up there, then I won't rest easy until I've fucked her up for it. What do you mean, fuck her up? Not sure yet. Maybe I'll just give her a good beatdown, but maybe I'll put my revolver to her temple and pull the trigger. Anyway, won't be able to do much till we meet face to face. Guess so. I understand how Celicia feels. Although Celine and I aren't related by blood, all three of us had spent our childhoods together in that orphanage. I still do worry about her, and I really do hope she's happy with her life right now. However, we're talking about heaveners here. Nobody knows if they allow earthlings, even the most basic human rights up there. After all, they view us as little more than slaves. More than once, I've wondered if she might already be dead. It's not like us regular people can go there in the first place. There has to be some way. Those heavener assholes have come down to Earth before. For them, maybe, but there's no way for us to go up there. There's gotta be some way, just one that nobody's found out about yet. Some way, like what? You think I'd be grumbling about it if I already knew? Wish I could just buy my way up there. She lets out a small sigh as she looks up at Caleb Herbs. Money can get you anywhere on Earth, but it isn't close enough to get you up there. There's nobody on Earth who can take you up to Caleb Herbs, no matter how much cash you throw around. What? Were you going to pay some heavener to adopt you? And how would I do that to begin with? Even if I could, they don't give much of a shit about money. You sure about that? I've heard stories. I'm a little too old to be adopted at this point, aren't I? If I were crazy enough to try that, I might as well just participate in that game of theirs. The game they run up there. The game, it's spoken of in whispers, yet with a fervent conviction as though it's through. Hold on. This is important, so I need to kinda enunciate it well. The game, it's spoken of in whispers, yet with a fervent conviction as though its existence is cosmic truth. Allegedly, specific people chosen by the residents of Caleb Herbs can partake in it with citizenship as the victory prize. While I personally doubt that such a thing really exists, I can't deny that rumors of it are commonplace. It's just bullshit. Sounds too good to be true. Probably, as if those shitheads would let us lowly earthlings live among them. Bet the game is just some fairy tale meant to give hope to poor bastards like us. She shrugs and lets out a laugh. It seems like she doesn't really believe in it either. It relieves me to see that, though I know telling her that is only asking for trouble. After all, there are some people on Earth who do, in fact, believe in the game's existence, and spend their days trying to find a way to participate in it. Hey there, you two, lounging around with nothing better to do, I see. Oh, hello, George. It's old George. We'd just been talking about him just earlier. Hold on. Yeah, that's right. We'd just been talking about him just earlier, but now it seems he's paying us a visit. George Mitchell, the town sheriff. In spite of the torrid weather, he's wearing his usual brown leather jacket over his same old white tank top. He might have been a hothead or womanizer. He might have been a hothead and a womanizer, but all things considered, he's still a decent and dependable kind of guy. Nothing better to do? So you came here for the same reason, am I right? Ha ha ha, you got me there. Pardon me, Sheriff, but should you really be here? Why not? I'm on my lunch break. Okay, out with it. What do you want? Didn't you hear me? Lunch break. Figured I'd invite you guys to grab something to eat. You buying? Ain't no such thing as free lunch. Damn it. Don't you make enough to pay for your own meals? Sure do. Her response to that question comes with a proud puff of her chest. Moody one moment and boastful the next. That's Alicia, alright. You coming, Togo? Sure, I'll come along. Well, it's about time for lunch in any case. Besides, I have no reason to turn down George's offer. It was just about finished anyway. Let's go. We decide on a place located in a nearby alleyway. At nighttime, it turns into a saloon. Although it's a pretty compact place, they manage to squeeze in something resembling a stage inside of it. Last year, a famous singer named Lacey Mallett sang there. The store owner often brags about it. Since I'm actually a fan of hers, the day I decided to close up shop early just so I could go... Hold on. Whoa. Since I'm actually a fan of hers, that day I decided to close up shop early just so I could go and listen to her sing. She has a beautiful voice that speaks straight to your heart. The memory of that day is still one a treasure. For some reason, though, when I told Celicia about it, she got upset with me. I'm still not sure why she did. We head inside the restaurant and get ourselves a table. Although the interior is far short of fancy, it does set a relaxing mood in its own way. Right, what should we order? I'll have a burger. And I'll go with some pasta. Well, that was quick. He acts as though taken aback by our quick choices, but he orders a steak with comparable swiftness. The restaurant's fare is a bit upscale compared to other places around here. Frankly, that was why I decided to order the pasta. It's one of the cheapest things on their menu. I tried not to make a big deal out of it at the moment, but this is one of those instances where the income disparity between Celicia and me becomes clear. Hey, ain't this sung by Lacey Mallett? One of her songs is playing over the restaurant speakers. Her voice is still as beautiful as ever. She has such a broad vocal range, and yet her voice remains so clear no matter what register she... I thought I read that right. Her voice remains so clear no matter what register she sings in. As one of her fans, it makes me glad that she's still performing. She's got you under her spell, Togo. Pardon? Under her spell? I'm saying you're obsessed with that woman. I wouldn't say I'm obsessed with her. It's just that I really like her voice. And so what if I think she also looks good as she... She also looks as good as she sings. That's called being obsessed, son. He grins to himself as I explain. Maybe I am a bit taken with her. I'll probably be made fun of if I were to admit that, though. I notice that Celicia has already begun to sulk. Maybe she just really doesn't like Lacey's music. What's this song even got going for it? There are tons of singers out there who could do an equally mediocre job. Well, she has a particular appeal that nobody else has. Huh? It says, well, she has a particular appeal that nobody else... Huh? Man. Okay. I don't know. That's weird. There's like a question mark there. Bullcrap. She's not special. I've got more appeal than she does. What the hell is your problem, Celicia? Her outburst surprises me. I listen to a lot of different artists, but none of them can even compare to Lacey. Celicia might be an adult now, but she still acts like a child. Stop throwing a tantrum. You're not a kid anymore, for God's sake. I let out a small sigh and reach out to caress her head with my hand. A long time ago, this always put a smile on her face, regardless of how upset she might have been. Maybe it still works. Her flushed expression immediately turns several shades redder. For a moment, her body freezes in place, but then she suddenly brushes my hand aside as if she just remembered something. Then stop treating me like one. I'll stop when you stop saying childish shit like that. I haven't said any childish shit. You two never change, huh? George only laughs at our argument. He's looked at us both for years, so he knows our personalities inside and out. Celicia, stop being jealous already. She's just a voice coming through a radio. In this situation, aren't you the one at a significant advantage? Who the hell are you calling jealous? Oh, please, young lady, it's written all over your face. No, it's not. Really, you should learn to be honest with your feelings. Keep being so grouchy, and one day not even Togo's gonna want to put up with you any longer. You only have yourself to blame, then. Shut the fuck up! Jesus, Celicia. In the blink of an eye, Celicia has her guns aimed at George. She's really going to extreme lengths to save face. Considering that we're inside of a restaurant, there's going to be a lot of trouble if she ends up shooting off a round just to have the final word in this conversation. Chill the hell out, Celicia. If your fingers slip, somebody's going to get hurt. It's never slipped before. Doesn't matter. You of all people should know how terrifying it is when someone waves a gun around. See, this is the difference. With the women, you... This, that emotional sense. And just... Ah, I'm going to shoot you. No. That's... Well, I got to agree with Togo on that one. Her being a bounty hunter, not probably a good idea. Doesn't matter. You of all people should know how terrifying it is when someone waves a gun around. Yeah, you should. And then she puts her guns down. Thank God for Togo. Thankfully, my argument convinces her to holster her guns for the time being. She still seems like she has a few choice words for George, but at least she's calmed down for now. Christ, you resort to violence quick, don't you? I guess you really are a bounty hunter, huh? You got a lot of balls saying that. The casual way he says that, as though he isn't partly responsible for Zalicia's choice of occupation, irritates me a bit. I might not have minded having lunch with him, but it's hardly as though I trust him entirely. If anything, it's precisely because I've known him for so long that I've ended up building up some resentment towards him. Why don't you explain why you decided to push her toward bounty hunting? Whoa there, pal. Celicia here became a bounty hunter of her own accord. Still, you set her up for it. She might not have decided to become one if you'd been firmer about saying no. What right did I have to stop her? Besides, she had talent, so I reckon she could do it. He has a big grin on his face as he speaks. He phrases it as though he had been confident in Celicia back then, but the truth is that he simply feels as though it didn't concern him. If he actually cared about her, he would have pushed her into taking a more respectable job. Look, she's nimble and she's a good shot. Those qualities are good to have for a bounty hunter, wouldn't you say? Well, duh, who do you think I am? I'm double pull the trigger, the girl nabbed first place in that shooting competition. George's compliment has her singing her own praises. It's fine that she's confident in her abilities, but I can't help but feel anxious for her. I'm worried that she's on a path that'll only end up getting more and more dangerous. Oh yeah, I heard the next guy on your list is a terrorist. That's right, he's actually gotten away from me once already. Didn't take him for much of a threat until he shot me with a goddamn bazooka at point-blank range. That piece of shit's gonna be Swiss cheese when I find him. Her brow furrows as she talks about her next bounty. It seems my worst fears are coming true. She really is going after more and more dangerous targets. It's quite like her to chase after danger, but can't she at least try to live a more peaceful life? Hey, here's our food. In the midst of our conversation, the waiter arrives at our table with our orders. George gets his plate of sizzling steak while a steaming serving of pasta comes my way. Celicia receives a burger a moment later, and just like that, our conversation is left forgotten as we beam with joy at the sight of our delicious meals. This looks de-fucking-licious! Let's eat, I'm starving. Yeah, let's start. But right as we're all about to dig in... The sound of multiple gunshots interrupts us. Those were gunshots. God damn it, can't a man eat his lunch in peace? He grumbles to himself as he rises from his seat. As the town sheriff, he's obligated to investigate the commotion. This seems like it'll be interesting. She draws her guns as she also stands up. Her nature has her inclined to also stick her nose into the disturbance. Come on, Celicia, just let George handle it. Yeah, a bounty hunter can't just sit on her ass. A bad guy might get away. In the end, the two of them leave the restaurant without touching so much as a bite. Celicia, in particular, has a train of curious spectators falling behind her. As I'm neither equipped nor inclined to check out a possible shooting, I ultimately decide to simply enjoy my meal in peace. Based! But then... Jesus Christ, you gotta be shitting me! George comes rushing back inside, a look of shock on his face. Celicia is right behind him, shouting at the top of her lungs. Run for your fucking lives! Ugh! I have no idea what just happened. I don't know why, but my entire body hurts. Gugh! What the hell happened out there? And what happened to me? As I slowly raise my head, an unbelievable sight greets my eyes. What the fuck? The restaurant has been thoroughly demolished. Chairs and tables lay smashed to pieces among the bodies on the floor. But, you know, surprisingly, they still have, you know, this stuff here seems to be okay. Like, none of that was damaged. Some kind of explosion had blasted a giant hole in the wall. Ah! I try to stand, but my body is in too much pain to manage it. I know that I'm hurt, but I'm not sure how badly. Blood soaks the floor all around me. People have been seriously injured. Celicia! My vision is so blurry that I can barely see. I start desperately looking around the restaurant in hopes of finding her. I remember that she had been standing right by the entrance when the explosion happened. She can't possibly be dead. Not like this. Nevertheless, fear grasps my heart as I look around. Celicia! I wring her name out of my chest in an agonized shout. I'm sure she has to be somewhere nearby. Or maybe I can't find her because the blast blew her to smithereens. Ah! She's unconscious on the floor not far from me. Her body twitches slightly as I look at her. If nothing else, she's still alive for now. Thank God! A sigh of relief escapes my body. It isn't the only thing that does. A second later, my consciousness leaves as well, the world turning black as darkness swallows me up. Just before I black out, I see the face of an unfamiliar girl before me. I slowly open my eyes. My mind is hazy as I realize that I'm staring at something strangely white. What happened to me? When had I fallen asleep? Nothing is particularly clear to me. I can't even begin to piece together where I am. All I know is that white fills my vision. Inspired by euphoria, perhaps? It takes me quite some time to realize that I'm simply staring at a wall. Definitely inspired by euphoria. Where am I? The room is completely foreign to me. The walls, ceiling, and floor are all white. Never before have I seen a place like this. What is... None of this makes any sense to me. I have no idea how in the world I ended up here. I sit myself upright and turn my head to inspect the room I'm in. It is indeed a room. Entirely featureless and blank. Obviously, this isn't my room. Honestly, I should have figured that out earlier, since the bed I'm in is completely different from the one I have. What is this place? I haven't managed to fully grasp my situation yet, though I do know I'm in some kind of outlandish room. There's a bed, a shower, and a toilet, but aside from those, the room is completely empty. I spend some time thinking of how and why I'd ended up here, but I can't make heads or tails of any of this. I backtrack my steps in my memory. What had I even been doing before waking up here? I was having lunch with Celicia and George. Oh! When I glance down at my body, something surprises me. I'm naked. No, really, I'm stark naked. I'm not wearing a shred of clothing, not even underwear. The hell, where'd my clothes go? This situation I found myself in is getting stranger and stranger. Maybe I got pissed drunk and ended up doing something incredibly stupid? Maybe I lost my clothes dancing around in the middle of the road naked or something? No, just picturing that creeps me out. That is kind of weird, buddy, that your brain would just go there. I truly can't remember whatever happened before I ended up here. Right before I ended up here. I don't know what to do. My head is spinning. Okay, calm down. Clear your mind. No point in panicking. What I need to do is calm down, figure out what's going on, and get hold of the situation. With how confused I am right now, it wouldn't surprise me if this really is a drunk holding cell. Let's see. I was about to have lunch with Celicia and George, and then... Saying my thoughts out loud helps my memory clear up little by little. After they'd left, the two of them had dashed back into the restaurant with shocked looks on their faces. Right after that, there had been a loud, deafening sound. What was that noise? I guess it was an explosion. Searching through my memories, I pieced the events together in order. We were about to start eating. We heard gunshots from outside. Then Celicia and George went to check out what had happened. They came back almost immediately, shouting something. That's when the explosion came. I'm sure of it now. There had definitely been an explosion. It had been so violent that it wouldn't surprise me if it turned out to be a missile or something. Maybe it had been a terrorist attack? Celicia said that a terrorist had escaped her once, so maybe his comrades came to get some payback. But how does that tie into how I ended up here? If I was caught in a terrorist attack, then it wouldn't be strange if I died, and yet, that reminds me, blood. Come to think of it, I'm sure I'd been covered in blood after the explosion. Why then did I not have a single scratch on me now? It doesn't make sense. Whatever, I still haven't figured out more important things. For example, where I am right now. Or how I'd gotten here. Are Celicia and George okay? The entire restaurant had been flattened after all. I know for sure that Celicia had been drenched in blood. That much couldn't have come from any minor injuries. Are they around here somewhere? I get up out of bed and move toward the door. It seems to be the only way in or out of here. Guess this won't open for me. The door doesn't have anything resembling a doorknob or handle. I try lightly knocking on it, but it doesn't shift or wriggle at all. I even try pressing my palms against its surface to slide it to one side, but it doesn't budge one bit. How the hell do you get this thing to open? Wait, this isn't one of those doors that only opens from the other side, is it? As I ponder how I might open the door, I look around for something to work with. A moment later, I notice a button. In this otherwise featureless room, it almost seems to beg me to push it. I know that pushing buttons haphazardly in a situation like this is the last thing I ought to do, but I really don't have any other options. I mean, it's not as though I'll explode a second time. Yeah, that was true. That too was not supposed to be there. It says, I mean, it's not as though I'll explode a second time, right? So in spite of my nervousness, I decide to push it. With a hiss of pressurized air, the door opens, as simple as that. Beyond the door is another space, just like my own, blank and featureless. As I look closer, I see several other doors just like the one I opened out of my room. It seems like this is a connecting hallway of sorts. I prepare myself to walk out of my room down the hall, but then I remember that I'm still naked. Realizing that this might lead to an awkward encounter, I decide to just go back instead. I need clothes. Isn't there anything here I can use? At this point, I'll settle for anything that might cover up my body. However, there's seriously nothing at all that's of use. What now then? I want to explore beyond the boundaries of my room, but I can't simply wander around looking like this. The bed doesn't even have sheets though. That's how empty the room is. Huh? As I continue searching for something to wear, I suddenly hear a strange noise come from somewhere. A moment later, some kind of picture display blinks into existence out of thin air before me. Surprised, I freeze in place instantly, still completely naked. What the? I'm stupefied. You could see this thing have... Hold on. How could this thing have shown up out of the blue when there had been literally nothing there a second ago? A feminine figure suddenly appears on the display as I stand there dumbstruck. Greetings, everyone. I hope you're well. A voice comes from the hologram suspended in the air. I've never seen anything like this before. The technology it must take to make a hologram appear suspended like this is beyond me. My name is Michiko Vashina. Or is it Vagina?
Whoa, it might be Vagina.
You are currently in the resting rooms prepared for you. Resting room... Yeah, I'm not very familiar with those, but if you guys know what they are, you know, more power to you. But I'm pretty sure they are some sort of Roman... Not Roman numeral, but Roman alphabet. You may be wondering why you were here. In due time, you will understand. The woman on the screen smiles as she introduces herself. Almost instinctively, I find myself thinking that she would be an easy person to hate. It's her attitude. She has a palpable aura of malice. I'm not getting that from her. I mean, God, she just like said a few words. Hey, what the hell is going on? The fact of the matter is that you are all incredibly lucky. You have been chosen as participants for the closed game. Closed game, and what do you mean chosen? You see, only a small handful of Earthlings have ever been able to set foot in Kalem Erbs. You are some of the lucky ones who have. Kalem Erbs? The revelation shocked me so much that I found myself simply repeating her words. Ho ho, how does that feel? Perhaps you're so shocked that you don't know what to say. Hey, this is Kalem Erbs, the heavenly city? Answer me! I yell at the hologram, demanding answers, but Michiko only continues to grin to herself. It seems as though she can't hear me. Hang on, she's using plurals. Does that mean I'm not the only one who's watching this right now? There are other doors along the hallway outside my room. I'm just guessing here, but it might be that Celeste and George are in rooms like mine. To be chosen by us means to be offered the opportunity to bid farewell to your old life down on the surface. Do you understand what a magnificent chance this is? You mustn't let it slip by you. You'll all stand at a crossroads, and your choice shall decide whether or not you can become heaveners. We can become heaveners? What is this woman talking about? Is this some kind of sick joke? She's going too fast for me. I can't keep up with what she's saying. All I know is that I have no idea what she's talking about. Of course, becoming a heavener is no simple task. You have to prove to the people of Kalem Erbs that you are worthy of such a prestigious title by completing a trial. If you are capable of succeeding, then you will be officially permitted to live among us in Kayla Mertz. And is that as simple as that? However, if you are unable to complete this trial, ho ho ho. Well, let's just say you were already considered dead down on Earth. So what does it matter if you die again? What? Already considered dead? Things are starting to become more and more suspicious. Is this woman about to force me into some kind of life-threatening situation? It sounds as though I have only two options before me. Somehow succeed and become a heavener, or fall and face death. By now, you must be wondering what it is you need to do. Curious to know, aren't you? What must you do to be granted citizenship in Kayla Mertz, the world free of all suffering? You must be dying to know. Why, you must amuse us in a little game which I prepared for you. If you manage to do that, you will be given the right to live a life free of unhappiness in Kayla Mertz. She smiles gently as she finishes her explanation. All I can feel from her expression, however, is a strong sense of ill intent. Now, I would like to start the game immediately, but I presume that you are all still naked. Therefore, I would like to present you with a selection of the latest fashion Kayla Mertz has to offer. As she finishes her sentence, a panel on the floor slides away. Hmm? There, in the revealed compartment, is a nicely folded stack of what seems to be clothing. Am I meant to wear this? Is this what's considered trendy in Kayla Mertz? At least the underwear seems familiar enough, but otherwise, heavener clothing is unlike anything I've ever seen before. These are battle suits. They are lightweight and have the ability to nullify collisions. In essence, they are suits designed to protect you, just in case you happen to encounter danger. In case? So it'll probably happen, huh? I have a bad feeling about this. Just as she said, it seems becoming a heavener won't be an easy task. Aside from that, though, I'm becoming increasingly worried about what might have happened to Celicia and George. Hey, where have you taken Celicia and George? Are they hurt? Answer me, goddammit! I know Michiko can't hear me, but I feel compelled to shout at her anyway. All she does is continue smiling through the hologram. I glare at it, fuming. One more thing. Your resting rooms are being monitored for your safety. We wouldn't want anything to happen to you. Now, would you please get dressed and come into the lobby? With no other real choice, I turn my eyes back to the stack of clothes. There isn't anything else to wear, so... They're a little too big. Showing up naked isn't an option, but I do wish these clothes would come in a smaller size. It isn't as though I have any way of fixing that at the moment, though. Huh? With an abrupt hiss, the clothes shrink in size until they're a perfect fit. Now they'd be incredibly easy to move around in. Huh. Wow, so this is the kind of tech they have up here. Between this and everything else I've seen, I have no choice but to accept that I am not on Earth anymore. Alright. Dressed at last, I make my way into what appears to be the lobby. I looked around, but there didn't seem to be anyone else here. There's one, two, three doors. Moment later, the door next to mine opens up as someone exits it as well.
Oh,
Okay. I like that outfit on her. Celicia. And turns out that the room right next to me, right next to mine, is Celicia's. We stand there gaping at each other, unable to believe our eyes. You're alive! I should be saying that. Are you okay? You're not hurt, are you? I'm fine, not even a scratch. The real question is, are you? I'm okay, I was hurt, but somehow I'm not anymore. You too? Same thing here. I woke up in that room naked because apparently someone took all my clothes. Your new outfit. Now that I stopped to look, I realized Celicia is also in Heaven Her Entire. Looks pretty damn good. So stop staring at me like that. Isn't it hard to move around in though? I said, stop staring. She fidgets from side to side, trying to avoid showing off her body any further than it already does by itself. I'm relieved to see Celicia alive and well, but I'm less relieved to see her dressed like this. Celicia has never exactly been fashionable, sure, but at least she had never dressed quite like this. Did you wake up alone in there? Do you know where George is? Yes, it was just me. No idea about George. In that case... At that exact moment, another one of the room doors opened. Out comes, who else but George? George! Well, I'll be damned, I figured you two be there. Seems you survived. And it seems both of you did too. Learning that we've all made it here together is a huge relief. Our immediate situation may have not gotten any better, but simply knowing we're all okay is something we can be glad about. So about the elephant in the room, I reckon you also heard what the Michiko lady said, right? Yeah, back in my room. Did you see that look on the bitch's face? God, I want to punch her in that shit-eating grin of hers. Her brow wrinkles with anger. She isn't any happier about the situation we're in than I am. Honestly, I'm seething just as much as she is. But what? I gotta say, I'm digging your new outfit. Hey, I'm not your goddamn eye candy. Oh, quit yapping. Your regular outfit showed more skin than this one. You know, I used to think you were still too young for me, but now I'm not so sure. Oh lord, this old man. Can it, you sick fuck? Flustered by his comment, she tries to cover herself up again. She seems to be angrier with George than she was with me a minute ago. Hold on, did they take your guns too? Yeah, I guess you lost yours as well. My clothes are one thing, but I ain't okay with them taking my gun. You said it. I've got a bad feeling about this. Hmm? Right in the middle of our conversation, the other doors open up. Three more women walk out from their rooms. Eek! There are men here! Who are these ladies? Attractive woman. Well, attractive woman says, I figured I wasn't alone here. Pallid woman says, huh, or wait, what's the meaning of this? Two of them seem rather embarrassed to encounter us. The last, however, doesn't seem to mind. My eyes widen as I realize who she is. But pardon me, but aren't you Lacey Mallet? Yeah, but you know who I am? Of course I do. You're Lacey Mallet, the famous singer. I can't help but get excited about meeting her, even in such bizarre circumstances. God damn, you're the real Lacey Mallet. Fucking hell, Kayla Merb sure knows how to pick 'em. Would you two shit stains shut up? You do know what's up, right? Huh? You mean how Lacey is up here with us? Yeah, I know. Way ahead of you. No, you idiot. You too, George. Stop creaming yourself over some random celebrity. She crosses her arms and turns away, pouting. Excuse me, but... Another one of the women approaches us, her expression rather troubled. Her expression is so uneasy that it quickly deflates my excitement about meeting Lacey Mallet. Seeing as we are all in the same situation, I figure it's best that we learn a little bit about each other. Anyway, I think we should all introduce ourselves. My name's Togo McNarton. McNarton name. I'm Celicia Lockhart. I've known Togo since we were kids, so I'm guessing you were just as confused as us when you woke up here, right? My name is Coconut Stemper, and I found myself here when I woke up. What kind of name is Coconut? What do you think of a coconut? My name is Mario Clemens. Does anyone feel like we've been abducted? Name's George Mitchell. I don't want to think about it much, but it seems that way, miss. I'm Lacey Mallet. I'm not sure about all the details, but it looks like the Heaveners decided to bring us to their home. I think we can safely establish that we were all taken here forcibly. With our mutual predicament confirmed, we fall into silence. We're all consumed by anxiety, wondering exactly what is in store for us. Even as the one making this observation, I'm hardly exempt myself. After all, who wouldn't be scared after being abruptly taken to such a strange, unfamiliar place as this? Michiko said we would be playing a game, but what did she mean by that? Testing, testing. Has everyone gathered now? Suddenly, a woman's voice breaks the silence. The air seems to bend as, once again, a hologram appears out of nowhere. I had been expecting Michiko to be addressing us once again, but this time it's a different, younger-looking woman. And she's got a tattoo. Let me
go up to the screen and see what that actually says.
It says Peach Angel.
Huh.
It's obvious she's also a Heavener, though. She has almost a doll-like air of innocence about her. Aha, indeed. Here you all are. It's been so long, Celicia, my dear sister. Huh? What? The woman's words utterly dumbfound us both. It's impossible. Surely you still remember me. I'm your one and only sister. No fucking way. It's you, Celine? Celine repeats her sister's name, her voice quivering. Celicia repeats her sister's name, her voice quivering. I'm so shocked by this sudden turn of events that I can't say a thing. Celine? Our Celine? Celicia's long-lost sister? Indeed, I am Celine Lockhart, the younger sister of Celicia Lockhart. Is that really you, Celine? This reunion is the most unexpected of places. Hold on. This reunion in the most unexpected of places has Celicia completely overcome by emotion. Our reaction is only natural. We haven't had any contact with her since childhood. Of course it's me. Although these days, I go by the name of Celine Virginia. Virginia. You're not shitting me? It's really actually you, Celine? Incessant, are we? Dear sister, I've come here to offer you a chance. Huh? A chance? Something isn't right. While both of them seem to be thrilled, Celine's excitement doesn't seem to be because of their reunion. Indeed a chance. Aren't you overjoyed, my dear sister? Listen, that aside, I'm wondering something. How come you never tried to contact me? Contact you? Why would I do that? What do you mean, why? I sent you like a million letters. I hope that I might hear back from you. Hold on. What do you mean, why? I sent you like a million letters. I hope that I might hear back from you someday. Hear back from me? Why did you never visit us? Couldn't you have at least answered one of my letters? Shit, sorry. I shouldn't be scolding you. Not after we've only just met after so long. That's all that really matters, so let's put the past behind us. Now we can just talk about everything I wrote you about anyway. Come on, say something. No need to be ashamed. Oh, how boring. What? Her voice is utterly disinterested. Gosh, I am so bored. You and your friends weren't summoned here so we could discuss such things. That is not the purpose I recruited you for. Recruited? Celine? Bewildered by a response, Celicia freezes in place, her smile still awkwardly stretched across her face. She can't make sense of what she just heard Celine say. I'm in the same position. I can't believe my ears either. My memory might not be perfect, but there's no way the Celine I remember from our childhood would ever say anything like that. What the hell are you saying? I'm telling you to stop boring me. I did not invite you here so you could have a touching reunion. Then what for? That is what I was about to begin explaining. Celine's smile finally returns. Now, though, her smile is entirely malicious. The only thing I can feel while looking at her is unease. Okay, now, allow me to explain how the closed game is going to work. Hey, hold on a damn second. We're not done talking. Would you be quiet? If you interrupt me once more, I will have you killed. What? Shocked by Celine's threat, Celicia quivers with fear. Is the woman in the hologram truly the real Celine? Unable to believe what she just heard, Celicia stands speechless, utterly bewildered. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. find like a long lost sibling and they're like, okay, if you interrupt me one more time, I'm gonna have you killed. That's pretty hardcore. Now allow me to explain the rules to you. I would like to begin by informing you that this game is extremely simple in nature. You have but one goal, and that is to locate the safe zone. Upon locating and entering the safe zone, the game will conclude for the rest of the day. For the rest of the day? Her phrasing implies that this game will take longer than a single day to complete. Next, I'm gonna explain how you... Next, I'm gonna explain how you were meant to find the safe zone. Please have a look at the bracelet on your left arm. Bracelet. I turn my gaze away from the screen and down to the object on my arm. It seems we're all wearing identical bracelets. That bracelet you are wearing is a small device that emits light and sound. Pay close attention to the sound's intensity. The closer the direction you are facing is to the target, the louder the sound will be. So basically, we'll find the safe zone if we go in the direction that makes the bracelet beep more. It would be wise of you to let me finish explaining. Yes, you may find the safe zone if you go in the direction that makes the bracelet sound out. But its exact location will be marked green on your bracelet. Green? Yes, when it is green. However, if your bracelet shows a red dot, that means that the enemy is somewhere nearby. The enemy? Does that mean there would be an opposing team? Celine claimed the game would be simple, but that didn't really seem to be the case. Who's this enemy supposed to be? That I cannot tell you. Think of it as a surprise to find out for yourselves in the game. A surprise, huh? It sounds as though this surprise can only be something bad. At the very least, I'm sure it's not gonna be good. Judging by how she threatened to kill Celicia just a moment ago, I can only imagine that this surprise is something in the same vein. Excuse me, my bracelet seems to have blue dots on it. Mine too. Six blue dots. I guess that blue light means we're nearby. That is correct. However, it will not glow if you're not close enough to a game entity, and so will not inform you of what is nearby. Your bracelet will also beep when it turns blue. Do take care so as not to let this sound alert the enemy to your presence. It is possible to turn the bracelet off, but you will lose the ability to sense if the enemy is near by doing so. So these bracelets can both help and hinder us. So this button turns it off then. This one? There's a small button in a convenient location on the bracelet's side. Ah, there's another thing I want to bring to your attention. As soon as the game begins, you will be transported to a stage. With each day the game continues, the stage will shrink in size. The stage will get smaller. To put it simply, the game stage can be divided into a number of different areas. If you have not found the safe zone before sunset, then one by one the different areas would detach and fall down to earth. Detach? Hold up, you're saying that at any moment the ground might drop beneath us and we'll be sent falling to our death? I said before sunset, didn't I? We will not purge stage areas while the game is still in progress. Oh, don't fucking scare me like that. But as I said, if you do not find the safe zone before sunset, then you'll start taking out the ground from beneath our feet. Please be careful to ensure that does not happen to you. She shrugs her shoulders and smiles. In short, if circumstances were to render any of us immobile on a stage about to be purged, then we'll be going down with it. Hopefully, we'll never have to leave the safe zone, but with the life-threatening stakes at hand here, odds are that we'll have to face this danger head-on. The closed game will last 4 days. If you are unable to reach my room within that time, you win. Oh, I'm sorry. That would not make sense, guys. My bad. The closed game will last 4 days. If you are able to reach my room within that time, you win. Well then. So that's the win condition. So if we make it to you, you'll set us free? Correct. Or you could choose to become a resident of Kalem Erds. Wouldn't you agree there's plenty of reason to do so? Guess so. How much that citizenship is worth depends on who you are. Personally, all I want to do is escape as soon as possible. At least as far as Celestia and I are concerned, the privilege of living up in the Heavenly City isn't worth that much. Yeah, I kind of figured he'd be like that. He just wants to leave. He wants to go back to fixing cars. The only reason we were interested to begin with was to see Celine again, and now... I was just wondering if my bracelet's batteries can run out. You need not worry about that. As far as the duration of the closed game is concerned, you can think of its power supply as infinite. You cannot break your bracelets, even if you were to try, so please do not attempt anything of that sort. In short, it seems like we don't need to worry about taking care of the bracelets at all. I should also let you know that the closed game will be broadcast all over Kalem Erds. Broadcast? It means that the people of Kalem Erds will be watching every move you make. What is this, a fucking reality show? George is clearly disgusted by the thought. Honestly, I feel the same way. When it comes down to it, we're all here simply to play a game for their amusement. You seem upset about it. Of course he would be. No one likes being treated like a monkey. The game is not recorded solely for the purpose of entertainment. It is also done so that I can judge whether you are worthy of becoming a heavener or not. If I deem you worthy, then you officially become one of us. We can become heaveners. Why get to live in Caleb Herbs too? Yes, you will. That's the kind of game this is. Celine smiles faintly as she looks down on us. I can't be the only one who can feel the evil behind that expression. By the way, you are free to choose whether you will work alone or with others as a team. All that matters is that someone must locate the safe zone. That simple rule is all you need to be concerned with. Well, if all we gotta do is move in the direction the bracelet points us to, then it ain't particularly hard. The existence of enemies is rather concerning, but otherwise, it doesn't seem like a particularly complex game to me. At least, nothing about it seemed impossible. I take it that you all understand the rules? Good. Then you will now be transported to the game stage. Hold it, Celine, you bitch! The fuck's gotten into? 3, 2, 1. Celine completely ignores Celicia's outburst. The moment her countdown finishes, our bodies are suddenly enveloped in a bright white light. Ugh. Gradually, the white light fades away, revealing the outlines of many structures all around. Where the hell am I? For a moment, I struggle to make sense of what just happened. Even down on Earth, I've never seen anything like this place. The area is littered with what seem to be ruined high-rise buildings. I wonder what happened here to reduce them all to rubble. More importantly, though, I have no idea how I ended up here. I'm pretty sure Celine started a countdown, then I was enveloped in white light. I recall as she said she was using us as pawns in the game of hers. Now, participants, I assume you've all prepared yourselves. Wait a second, prepare ourselves for what? Then get out there and show us what you're made of. It was just like back in the lobby. Celine had appeared through a hovering hologram, refused to answer any questions, then disappeared once done speaking. What the hell was that about? It's blatantly obvious she's toying with us. The Celine I remembered would never have acted like that woman did. Well, people fucking change. And living as a heavener for so many years caused her character to undergo radical change. Yeah, I think so. In any event, I can't just stand here doing nothing. I examine my surroundings, but it seems that I'm the only one here. Celicia, what do you do? Where are you? George, Lacey, Coconut, Maria. I yell everybody's names, but unsurprisingly, there's no response. Neither Celicia, George, nor any of the women we just met are in the area. Celine said she was transporting us to the stage, but did that mean that each of us had been sent to a different area? Oh yeah, I suppose I should have a look at my bracelet. The first thing I decide to do is check my bracelet. Green is the safe zone. Red is an enemy on the prowl. Blue means one of us and other players nearby. Right now though, my bracelet is showing me dots of any color. Isn't showing me dots of any color. That means, for now, all I can do is look for anything, whether that's other people or the safe zone. Well, without any kind of hint, I guess I'll just have to guess what direction to go in. If I end up moving in the opposite direction of the safe zone, I'll be up shit creek, though. I have to start moving one way or another, though. If I stand around, I'm guaranteed to fail. Still, the presence of enemies concerns me. I question if this game is actually as simple as Celine pretends it is. I really wish I could get Celine on the line to ask her some questions. Actually, no. She probably wouldn't give me any straight answers. I think to myself about how Celine is now an entirely different person, sighing to myself. Okay, seriously, time to pick a direction and start walking. These ruins that stretch as far as the eye can see are apparently a landmark of their very own. But as long as I'm in the area, it's far too easy to lose track of where I am within them. Already, I can see myself falling to the safe zone before sunset and getting purged along with the stage. I have to be on my guard. As I tread down the endless path of debris, I end up at a fork in the road. Now the question was, where do I go? Oh, they have a save right... Well, no. Right there, yeah. Okay, I'm not playing this with a walkthrough yet, so let's just go ahead and see what happens. For now, I decided to take a look at my bracelet. I'm better off making an educated guess with the little information I have than just picking a random direction. Although, the bracelet displays nothing at all. What am I supposed to infer from that? It didn't break down on me out of the blue, did it? Should I assume there's nobody within the bracelet's detection range? I mean, it didn't break when I got it sent here, right? I gently pressed the power button to be sure. The bracelet doesn't respond in any way, though. I'm starting to think that it really is broken. Oh, you're kidding. Why me of all people? Whenever over-engineered gadgets like this break, they're usually also too complicated to repair. That's why I hate them. If my bracelet isn't going to be of any use, I may as well remove it and save myself the weight. That's what I think anyway, but I can't find any way to take it off. When I look closer, I realize it's actually part of my outfit's sleeve. Wait, what? Can I not even remove this thing? I try shaking my arm and pulling at it, but it's firmly attached to the fabric. Well, nothing to do about that. Let's just go somewhere. Obviously, standing in one place won't do me any good, so I decide to start walking. Maybe if I keep moving, the bracelet will end up reacting to something. I don't know what to expect, but I have to do something. Really though, this place is in a real sorry state. As I move through the abandoned city ruins, I get the feeling as though I'm in the aftermath of an apocalyptic war. Whoever decided to set the game here is probably a sick and twisted person. Hold on a minute, what's that over there? I notice a pile of unusual objects in the ruins. While some of them seem mostly like everyday items, there's something that resembles a weapon among them. In fact, there even seems to be a vehicle of sorts. My interest is piqued. Looks like there's something under this, too. I catch sight of something that gleams like silver laying beneath a flat sheet of metal. Moving the sheet to the side, I found some kind of unusual engine. I haven't seen one like this before. Seems like it's been shredded, though. I wonder what happened to it. I bend down to examine the broken engine more thoroughly. After closer inspection, I gain some understanding for exactly how it had functioned while it had still been intact. So it vents excess heat through the air through this air intake. Oh, looks like there are still some mechanical cylinders slotted in here. This is really high-tech stuff. It isn't on the level of outright science fiction, but at the same time, it's far beyond anything we have down on Earth. I'm amazed that someone could have abandoned something as incredible as this. Sure, it hardly made being abducted up here worth it, but I'm forced to admit that Kael Emerge is truly a place of wonder. I never would have gotten to see this fascinating engine, even these remains of it here, had I not been kidnapped away from Earth. Up here and down there really are like night and day. I know I ought to realize that already, but it still shocks me to see it with my own eyes. The gap of technological progress between Earth and Kael Emerge is considerable. Now that the proof is before me, I'm left with a peculiar sense of defeat. People struggle to merely subsist down there, while the people up here live in such luxury that they can afford to. Thoughtlessly discard things as incredible as this engine. It's truly staggering. Whoa! As I continue to examine the engine, my bracelet suddenly begins beeping. What? Why is it beeping? Startled, I instinctively try to squelch my bracelet. I even go so far to shake it around and smack it, but not only does it never stop, it actually gets even louder. Why is it doing this now? A few moments ago, it wasn't working at all. When I stop to actually look at it, I see it's glowing blue. Doesn't that mean another player is somewhere nearby? No, I can't blindly place my trust in this thing I don't fully understand. Maybe this is a trap of some sort. So this is where your dumbass went, huh? Huh? I whip around to face the person speaking to me, Celicia. Celicia? Holy shit, how'd you get here? I went this way because it made the bracelet beep a lot. Turns out it's because you're here. Oh yeah, the beeping. I turn my gaze down to my bracelet. At this point, it had stopped beeping, showing a single blue light in the middle. Oh, I get it now. The beeping gets louder as you get closer to another person. But when you're basically at knife point, it just stops. Not sure how it works exactly, but I think we can use this to find anyone who's gotten lost. In any case, I'm very relieved to see Celicia again. I've been pretty anxious. I hadn't anticipated how easy it is to get lost in this place. We can't possibly know what might happen next, so we need to be more careful from now on to make sure we don't get lost again. You're the only one here? Yeah, pretty sure it's just me. Thought so. Haven't come across anyone else yet. Then maybe the others haven't found anyone else either. So I guess the first thing we'll have to do is regroup some of the other players. Sounds like a good idea. Ultimately, we're stuck playing games that the Heaveners came up with. Who knows what annoying shit they'll drag us through. Wouldn't be a big deal if it's just annoying. Her expression makes it clear she's frustrated. She has plenty of reasons to be, of course. Her feelings are likely still in turmoil after her unexpected reunion with Celine. What the fuck's gotten into Celine? Yeah, I never expected this would be how we'd meet her. So what do you reckon? Was she really Celine? Honestly, I don't know. It's been years since we last talked to her. She sounds and looks like Celine, but at the same time, she doesn't feel like her. Okay, could you give me a straight answer? Oh, fuck off. How should I know if that was actually her or just an imposter? I wouldn't be surprised if the Heaveners were able to create a Celine lookalike, what with all the advanced technology. You got a point. My argument gives her pause. Eventually she nods in agreement. Neither of us can be sure if the woman in the projection is truly the real Celine or not. We still have hope that the woman isn't actually the real deal. If she's truly Celine, though, we have no hope of saving her. Still, neither of us want to believe she'd grown up into such a woman after being taken away from the orphanage. At any rate, we'll have to win this game first before we can investigate further. Right. What were we supposed to do? Look for the safe zone or whatever? By heading in the direction that makes this thing glow green, I think. It's not indicating Jack right now, though. Well, we don't know where it is, so we'll have to start by just going somewhere. God damn it, couldn't they at least give us a fucking hint? I sympathize with their frustration. If we end up moving away from the safe zone, it'll only get even harder to find. Unless, maybe there's more than one safe zone? So any ideas on where we should go? Don't ask me like I'd fucking know. Just go with your gut feeling then. Where would you go? If you ask me, I guess I'd head that way. She raises an arm, indicating a direction. Neither of us had traveled along it before we'd reunited here. Alright, then let's get a move on. You sure? It's not like we have any other leads to work with. Fair enough, let's go. For now, our goal is to look for the original players. It'll soothe our hearts to find George, and personally, I'm also worried about Lacey. I really hope they're okay. Alright, well, that's the intro, and maybe we can play more. I don't know. I haven't seen any H scenes yet. And, I'm definitely going to put this on YouTube, because there's nothing that really seems to be outlandish. I mean, mild nudity at best. You know, the little, like, part nipple and, yeah, all that stuff, that's very partial. That's very partial, very mild nudity. I don't think that would be an issue. So I will put this whole thing up here. That shouldn't be an issue, hopefully. And Jest USA would appreciate it if you buy the game. Yes, there are some errors. I'm going to talk and see if maybe they can get a patch because the game is still being sold to kind of fix some of the grammar and spelling errors and just missing words, a lot of missing words. That's not good. That doesn't make for a fun, you know, a fun experience when you have to kind of fill in the script. So maybe they could just look through it again, you know, kind of clean up a few things. Again, there's a whole sentence that's out of place because there's just words missing from it. But you can grab this game, of course, right now for $30-something on Jest. It's selling pretty well. It's DRM-free. You download it. It's only about a gig or so. It's on your computer, and you're ready to go. And I don't know what kind of age content it has because I haven't gotten anything yet. So we'll find out. I like the music. I like the character designs. Everything looks pretty cool so far. It's very interesting. And don't forget, there's a nice collector's box. I think it comes with a badge and everything else. It has a poster, just all kinds of really cool stuff. I'm going to link you guys to that so you can check that out. It'll be right there in the, not the comments section, but it'll be in the video info. So I'll make sure you guys, you know, grab that if you want it. It's $100, pretty high. But, you know, you're getting a collector's product, so, you know, you are expected to pay a little more for a top-quality Eroge product. I quite enjoyed it, and we'll see what happens, because I don't see why I couldn't play any more of this. I mean, at least play to an age scene. And if there's a lot of stuff in between that's actually long enough, I'll just put it up there, too. We'll just go and till, you know, I just can't do it anymore, because Starless is filled to the brim with them. But this one doesn't seem to be. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but I like it so far. And at least, unlike Euphoria, they actually have a fucking sky to look at, and they have a little bit more room to run around in. But we don't know anything about the enemies or what's going to happen later, so we'll find out. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord. I thank you for checking this one out. I want to thank Jest USA for putting this game out and allowing me to promote it. And you guys have some fun. I know that I'm not the perfect reader, but, you know, I'm doing the best. Well, I'm doing a decent job, I'd say. And I guess I'll get better as I continue doing this. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I am out. Later.